In this episode, we talk with Samuel Bradshaw of SingPraises.net. He tells us which hymns are sung the most and which hymns could use your help to be resurrected.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the own and only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hey, welcome back. This is the Leading LDS Podcast. My name's Kurt Frankum. Many of you know me, many of you don't. If you don't know me, well, this is a podcast we do to enhance the leadership capacity and ability in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And in this episode is just sort of a fun, quick, short episode. You know, I do so many of these interviews around subjects are sort of heavy. You know, we delve into the depths of leadership and try and discover habits and principles and skills of leaders, and they can be some pretty intense episodes. So whenever I see a topic or an individual that I can interview that's a little more light and fun, I jump on it, and that's what today's episode is. A short episode for sure, but we are interviewing Samuel Bradshaw. He's been doing something quite interesting, quite neat at singpraises.net, where he has had individuals from all over the world submit what hymns are being sung in sacrament meeting and then laid out the data to see what hymns were singing the most, what hymns were not singing, what hymns were neglecting. Poor hymns. And then he cross-references all sorts of information from different languages and is just trying to build a solid library about statistics of hymns that maybe can be a resource to bishoprics and music leaders across the church. He talks about how you too can contribute to this project and submit or have somebody in your ward submit the hymns that you're singing in your ward so we can have a broader sample of what's going on. So here's my interview with Samuel Bradshaw. How are you, Samuel?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well, thanks for giving me a few minutes of your Saturday today. And we're going to talk about your project called Sing Praises, right? Singpraises.net. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
So maybe in a few minutes here, describe the project you're doing. What is singpraises.net?
So singpraises.net is a website I started back in 2011. Originally, its purpose was to gather information about music by church artists, LDS artists, but it's evolved more to be music published by the church. So information about hymn books and general conference music, current hymn books in different languages, and historical information.
Oh, that's awesome. And before we jump into the details of the project, maybe let's back up and get to know you a little bit. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Florida.
Oh, wow.
So I grew up actually in Washington, but moved to Florida when I was 10.
Great. And did all your growing up years there as a youth?
Yep.
Okay. And did you serve a mission?
I did. I served a mission in Arizona, Spanish speaking.
Oh, very nice. So from Washington to Florida to Arizona, huh?
Uh-huh.
You like the sunny places.
Yeah, I guess so.
Except
I
Washington.
I do like air conditioning, though.
Yeah, I bet. That's great. And then after your mission, you're currently a student at BYU, right?
I'm a part-time student, but mainly right now I'm working.
And who do you work for?
I work for the church ICS department, and I help with the church apps. So I do quality assurance for Gospel Library and help coordinate volunteers who translate the user interface of the apps and do other tasks as well.
Very nice. So any inside scoops you can tell us about something coming or?
Gospel Library is under full development. Gospel Library 4, which is the next version. Hoping to get it out by the end of the year. We'll see.
Cool. And what changes are typical to the next version?
So this version, Gospel Library 4, there's a lot of changes because all of the content is switching over to the newer HTML5-based content. Mm-hmm. And the annotations sync service is a new service. So everything's incompatible with the old Gospel Library. Everything's being updated all at once, and so it'll be a big update.
So a lot of those changes are just on the back end with the programming to HTML5.
A lot of them, yes. Yeah, there will be some front end design changes, especially the Android app It's more of an overhaul for design, and some changes in iOS as well.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a suggestion you can take back to your department. Okay, this is coming from perspective of a former bishop and a member of the state presidency. What you need to do is when people log in to their app, you know, even on the LDS tools, it makes them, you know, you have to enter in a code. But on the Gospel Library, no member can use the Gospel Library or LDS tools until they take a picture of themselves and upload it to the directory, because nobody seems to be able to do this. And for a leader, sometimes you go to the directory looking for a picture and it's not there. So, okay, it's gonna be huge. All right, so take that back.
That's a good suggestion. I like that. I don't think it'll pass through though.
I know. Wishful thinking for sure. But yeah. Well, great. And so you have a statistics programming background then? Is that sort of what led to this project with Sing Praises?
Not as much. I do web page design as a hobby. Started back in seventh grade. I had a life sciences teacher, Ms. Parker, who had us do a simple project, design a web page, completely unrelated to life sciences. But from there on, I just started doing web page design for fun. I got excited about web page design by doing a fan site for the Glider Pro computer game. It was an old Mac computer game.
Oh, nice.
I've just built several web pages since then. The Sing Praises site started after my mission, so several years after that. And I've learned a lot just by trying new things and being excited about the content I'm presenting on the sites. So,
yeah, that's cool. What sort of feedback are you getting in general with the Sing Praises?
Mostly positive. Lots of people are using the site. A lot more people use the site, of course, than the number of people who give any feedback. But all the feedback that I get, emails I've gotten, has been positive.
Great. And so tell us kind of the basic approach to this project here. It's not necessarily a scientific survey, but basically, if I understand it right, people that sign up, they submit every week what hymns they sing in sacrament meeting, right? And then you record that information and draw conclusions from it or organize it in such a way that's interesting.
Yeah. So in 2015, we did a survey, and right now we're starting another survey at singpraises.net with the idea of finding out which sacrament meeting, which hymns are most common to be sung in sacrament meetings around the world. And yeah, it'll just be as many responses as we can get, and we'll compile them all. The more responses we're able to get, of course, the more accurate the final results will be. But hopefully it'll be a resource for ward music leaders who are trying to choose hymns. Maybe they might look at the most common hymns for certain holidays to get a good idea of what holiday appropriate things. But also I hope they look at the less common ones to maybe have the choir sing a certain hymn that isn't disfamiliar, so that the ward members can start to learn some of the other hymns as well.
Nice. And so at basically creating it as a resource and helping those poor neglected hymns maybe rise up a few spots on the list. That's great. So looking at, I'm on the singpraises.net/hymns/statistics, I guess the statistics page. And
yeah.
And so you've organized these in interesting ways. So obviously the top 15 overall hymns are not surprisingly, majority of them are sacrament hymns, because obviously the bishoprics only have a selection in the hymn book, a smaller selection to choose from during that sacrament hymn. So obviously those are going to be sung more often than not. But then you also rank those that are adjusted without the sacrament hymns, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these are the results from our 2015 survey.
Okay, right, 2015. And coming in at the top is "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." I mean, that's a solid LDS hymn, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm just looking down this list here, pretty typical. I mean, these are all "Because I've Been Given Much," "How Firm a Foundation," "High on the Mountaintop," "Teach Me to Walk in the Light." Like, these are very common. You'll hear these in general conference as well, right?
Uh-huh.
And then what I found was interesting is, as I scroll down, you also list, I'm bouncing around here, hymns that were rarely reported and not reported at all. Mm-hmm. And so the hymns like "A Key Was Turned to in Latter Days." I mean, let's give that hymn some love, people.
Yeah.
Go ye messengers of glory. God save the king. I mean, our saints in the UK are heartbroken here. So I guess it'd be God save the queen these days. Rejoice, a glorious sound is heard. Rise up, O men of God, is even on here. So this is interesting. So these are pretty much reported, or never, or I guess the ones I listed were never reported. But then you have some that were rarely reported, maybe just once or twice sung in the year, right?
Yeah, well, like Rise Up, O Men of God, for example, it isn't very commonly sung in sacrament meeting because it would be one that's sung in elders' quorum. So there's kind of a false the fact that it's not sung isn't entirely true with that one, actually.
Yeah, for sacrament meeting, it's definitely not, uh-huh. Right? So, well, and then you even break this down to, you know, hymns that are sung on regular Sundays as opposed to the top five fast Sunday hymns. Again, I know My Redeemer Lives, Bless Our Fast We Pray, Testimony, you know, In Fasting We Approach Thee, Because I've Been Given Much. So obviously there are certain fasting hymns that come to the surface on those. Mm-hmm. Now tell me, how did you're not just taking data from sacrament meetings, but also general conference, you said?
So as part of this survey, it's only a sacrament meeting. Okay. At the top of the page though, under church music, and then under general conference.
Okay.
And then under music statistics there, if you see that towards the top, there's statistics for general conference there.
Okay. So then you have it broken down to conferences and other broadcasts, right?
Yeah. So at the top of that page, if you click on music statistics, there are some statistics there for general conference as well. Or yeah, if you're looking for the statistics, the page that you're at with the list of all the sessions, you can see which songs were sung by session, who the arrangers were, et cetera. Huh. I have it back to 1971 right now, and I'm working to go further.
Very nice. And any conclusions you've been able to draw from general conference? I mean, is it the same kind of patterns as you see with sacrament meeting, where you see just the same hymns come up over and over again?
Yeah, definitely. The church, for general conference, there's definitely the same hymns. We Thank Thee, O God, for a Prophet is definitely at the very top.
Okay.
Most common for general conference. And even as I've been indexing older pre-1971 conferences, it seems like it's always been up there at the top.
Let me see.
I think I'm speculating, but I'm guessing that they choose hymns that have been translated into as many languages as possible so that people around the world recognize the hymns, even though they're singing in English.
Yeah. And have you had, I mean, obviously working for the church, have you walked down the hall to the music department and shown what you're doing or anything like that? Have you gotten any feedback, or do they have any interest? And I'm sure that maybe they're keeping some type of statistics on their own end.
Yeah, I've talked with them some. I've gotten some positive feedback and some help compiling information as well, especially about the hymn books and children's song books and a little bit of historical information. So it's been helpful.
So what, as far as the hymn books, what sort of information do you collect about hymn books?
So I index the hymn books, meaning I type out all the titles and then I cross-reference them. And so it displays on the website, because they're cross-referenced, it's able to pull the name of the author and the composer. Also as part of that indexing, sheet music, any resources that are on LDS.org about the hymn, sheet music or recordings, I link to those, and the LDS.org pages themselves, of course. So the hymn book pages, just list of the hymns with resources about each hymn.
So if you were talking with like a music leader, even a bishopric in an award, you know, you said you were hoping to create this as a resource for them. What would be the best way that they could go about using singpraises.net?
I think probably the most useful in general would be like the most continually useful would be the results of the survey to get an idea to get ideas kind of as a catalyst to, as you're seeking inspiration about what hymns to sing in sacrament meeting. But also, there are some charts on there. If you have, I know there are some wards that have used it, bilingual wards or branches. You could find cross-reference between the English and Spanish hymn books easily and get the hymn numbers for both. So those are a couple use cases. Also under resources on the site, I haven't organized it very well, but I'm starting to add information about copyright and church music, and links to a few Facebook groups that are related to church music that may be helpful. Resources on LDS.org.
So to cross-reference from English to Spanish, if I would use that if I'm looking for a specific hymn in Spanish or what page it's on in the Spanish hymnal?
Yeah, so the easiest way to do that, probably at the top, towards the top under indexes, there's a link that says cross-reference English to Spanish, and that'll bring up an index that lists the English titles with the Spanish numbers.
Oh, okay. So let's see. Very cool. And you've done that with several languages?
All the languages of the hymn book, yep, and all the languages of the children's songbook.
Wow. Oh, good work. Good work. So do you have a musical background? Is that what sent you towards doing statistical research with hymns?
Not really. I don't know. I like to sing. I play a little bit of piano. I guess I didn't know that I liked to sing until I was like 17, I think. I signed up for the EFY choir, and I discovered that I actually liked singing. So cool. I've been in several non-auditions, like low-commitment choirs, nothing really professional or big, but I enjoy that, and ward choir, of course, state choir. And I guess the reason that I felt that this was important was because so much of this information about other language hymn books isn't available online anywhere else. Even on LDS.org, they currently only have English, Spanish, French, Portuguese, and I think they've added German links to the hymn book, like the PDFs. And so there's really not a lot out there about those 30 other languages of the hymn book and several other languages for other collections. So, yeah.
So have you seen or gotten any feedback from individuals who have discovered effective ways to maybe resurrecting some of these old hymns that aren't really familiar or ever sung?
I think the best way to do it is, I think there's a lot of opportunity for LDS musicians. There's the song Come Thou Fount, for example. That's a big example. That it was in the 1948 hymn book, which was right before our current hymn book. And it was taken out. One of the reasons was just that it wasn't very well known, wasn't commonly sung. And then Mack Wilberg did an arrangement with the Tabernacle Choir, and all of a sudden it's definitely become a favorite. There's other songs like Savior, Redeemer of My Soul, which is in the hymn book, that in the past few years has become popular because of Rob Gardner's arrangement, which was in 17 Miracles, I think. And he did a different tune to it, but the text is there in the hymn book, and a lot of people are surprised to find out that is in the hymn book. So there's a lot of opportunity for LDS musicians to create arrangements, I think, and make some of those hymns known again, because there are so many that are good that are just never sung. Now, right. A lot of, ward music leaders who put those less common hymns into the sacrament meeting program. You have to balance, because you don't want people to feel uncomfortable when they don't know the song. So I think it's good to introduce these songs, maybe by having the ward choir sing it or LDS musicians singing, rather than just throwing it in the faces of the congregation on Sunday. That's my interpretation, but you have to balance.
No, I remember a time when I was serving as bishop and our ward organist didn't show up. And so I pulled someone out of the audience to just play the piano in the chapel for our hymns. And I don't know how this specific came, and I don't even remember what hymn it was, but it was obvious a few lines into this that nobody in the room really knew had heard this hymn or how it really went. And so we were doing our best to read the music as we sang. But by the end of the first verse, I just stood up and used my presiding authority there and completely changed the hymn, because it was it sounded like a mess. So definitely becoming familiar. And I like what you say is, you know, obviously not all LDS musicians will hear this interview, but you know, if they do, I think that's, like you mentioned, that's such an effective way to get some of these hymns in the mind of members. And really, you know, if members listen to these hymns at home, or, and I'm sure there's some, you know, a lot of the hymns are Christian. They're not necessarily LDS, and maybe there's some other Christian artists that have sung these or somebody, and that you can find on YouTube, and just becoming familiar with them and then introducing to the ward, you know, in some way or another would be fantastic. So, like you said, I mean, imagine if we weren't familiar with Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings, you know, it's such a strong and powerful hymn and man, I'm grateful that we hear it from time to time, you know, and hopefully the next revision of the hymn book, we'll see it back in there.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident that, when the next edition comes, I haven't heard that there's one being produced right now or anything, but I'm pretty confident they'll be adding that back in if there's a change.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, sacrament meeting's the most important meeting of the church, so you don't want it to be a bad experience by making people feel uncomfortable.
We have to lug around those hymn books so much, we might as well use every page in them.
Definitely.
So a few more questions before we end. One, just, you know, being involved in this of reviewing and looking at hymns statistics so closely, any specific hymn that comes to mind that you wish that you're familiar with that you wish that wards would sing more often?
Well, there is one that I sang with choir, with my ward choir once, in Hymns of Praise. That's become one of my favorites.
All right. Well, there's your assignment, all you bishops out there. Put that one on your program this week and maybe give them a heads up or have them listen to it prior. But very cool. So how can people get involved? Obviously, you're doing another round just start as far as collecting hymn statistics from people around the church?
Yeah. So just last week, we started sending out the weekly survey again, similar to what we sent out in 2015. And we are still recruiting, actively trying to get people to sign up for the survey. If you go to singpraises.net, at the top, there's a link to sign up. And just to report which hymns you sang in sacrament meeting each week. And I'm excited to see the results.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we can give you a leading LDS bump there in your entries.
Thank you.
And I'll definitely link to it in the show notes of this episode. But Samuel, you're doing a great work, and I appreciate, you know, not everybody would jump in and do something like this, but I think, you know, you think of the many journal entries that were kept by the saints in the history of the church, and I'm sure many of them thought that they were just writing down information maybe to that their children could read, and now they're in libraries and research libraries in the church, and they're blessing the church on many levels. So I'm sure research like this is going to bless the church in many, many ways. So I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you.
That concludes my interview with Samuel Bradshaw of singpraises.net. Nice, short, simple episode. Hope you enjoyed it and are intrigued by what Samuel's doing. And I encourage you to go to singpraises.net and sign up to be a contributor to enter the information of what hymns you're singing on Sunday so that we can and get a larger sample of this data and see if that gives us more accurate results. Fun project. I appreciate what he's doing, and maybe pick a hymn from time to time or a way to practice a hymn in priesthood meeting or relief society that we can then sing in sacrament meeting with boldness and conviction and resurrect some of these beautiful hymns that maybe haven't been sung in years and years. $1 a month is all we ask for the content we produce at Leading LDS. Go to leadinglds.org/help and look at various ways that you can contribute to Leading LDS, including that $1 a month that will help us accomplish our many goals to enhance the leadership in the context of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.